good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being until we ask for calls, and we may or may not ask for calls. But our special guest this evening, Dr. Jack Clooney, and we're going to be talking about, well, about health issues and medical issues. Good evening, Dr. Clooney.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Is it pretty cold back where you are?
Well, I'd rather be where you are. Let me put it this way. It is very cold and starting to snow again. I was up in Chicago the other day, and it's even colder and snowier up there. So, because we're about 200 miles south of Chicago.
All right. And Dr. Clooney has a clinic there, and of course talks to people a great deal about alternative approaches to medical problems. Well, what should we talk about this evening?
Well, I've got something that's really interesting and real controversial, but I want to save it for later in the program, just because I think, you know, if anybody's out there and they have any inkling that there is a conspiracy going on worldwide, they'll want to pay attention. Maybe the bottom of an hour we'll start on that one.
Well, there was an interesting report that came out, I believe it was out of Illinois, maybe it was out of Pennsylvania anyway. It was by doctors who had been taking care of Amish children for a long period of time, and found that they just don't have the autism. Now, of course, in the general population, why autism exists, about 1 in 166 children,
sure.
And by the time you get around to boys, maybe it's 1 in 60 boys, something like that, 60 or 80 boys, because the disease is far more prevalent in boys than girls. And it was really very interesting the doctors who, I think, were looking after something like 35,000 Amish children,
right.
Were not vaccinated. They just don't see the autism there. And, you know, then they try to scare everybody. Oh, they're getting polio. And, well, this is all part of the hysteria to try to get everybody to take the vaccines, roll up their sleeve. And actually, of course, what they found was the polio virus in the stool of some of the children. A couple of the children were Amish. They didn't have any polio. In fact, this was something they obviously got from people who had been vaccinated.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. We deal with a lot of Amish in this part of the country, and they don't have the same serious problems, you know, the autism, and some of the other issues. But what I want to talk about, maybe a little later, is there is a move in the world to control vitamin supplements. I've run across a rather interesting philosophy on why that is so important. It's called the Codex
Alimentarius
Committee.
Right.
Yeah, Codex Committee.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be talking about that just a little bit later. People have to understand that, you know, there's certain things that you can do to maintain your health so that you don't need to get as ill as many people. Many of the things that are being done today in the way of vaccinations, in the way of the use of NutraSweet in our food, and certainly as far as fluoridation of our water, are designed to create illness in our people. Not accidentally, but on purpose. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, our guest this evening, Dr. Jack Clooney. Jack, pick up the story from there.
All right. So, you know, when we talk, you know, we have... There is something called the Codex Commission.
Okay.
And the Codex Commission among other things, are in business to look at world health, so to speak. They want to set up safe standards, in other words, maximum potencies, for each vitamin and mineral based on so-called scientific risk assessment. They want to create, through setting maximum vitamin and mineral consumption limits, an approach to regulating dietary supplements, which is consistent with their plan for dominating mankind in very vague terms here. They're also narrowing the amount of nutrition and health information about vitamins and minerals consumers will be allowed to receive. This is an information blocking trick. They want only drugs. They believe that only drugs can contain a label that claims the products are suitable for prevention, alleviation, treatment of cure of disease, and disorder or particularly physiological conditions. Also, they believe that fostering a worldwide health assumption that sufficient levels of nutrients can be found in a regular diet. And, of course, we know that that's absolutely ridiculous. Also, in this Codex Commission, they're going to list nutrients to be treated as toxins. You ready for me?
Well, I think can believe almost anything, having studied this for some time.
Yes.
Much of what, of course, they're doing is actually
mercury.
Harmful to our population. And until people understand that there really are people out there who have a different worldview, who believe that mankind is the great enemy of Gaia, of Mother Earth, and that the world would be far better off with far fewer people. If you really understand that, you can understand why the very people who are pushing world population control are pushing vaccination for children throughout the world, and, of course, would be in favor of restricting our access to vitamins. We'll be right back in just a moment. Okay, our guest this evening, Dr. Jack Clooney, and of course Jack is commenting on the fact that there really is a drive today to limit the amount of vitamins you can take, and not only to limit the amount of vitamins and nutritional supplements you can take, but also to limit your access to information about these things. And this is really what's frightening. Why should we only get what the government tells us? Well, after all, the government's here to help. And yet, if you look at what they've done, look at the food pyramid. For years, they've had a food pyramid, and now suddenly, they said, well, this is all wrong. We're going to have to redo this. Everybody needs 3 cups of milk a day, knowing full well that that milk actually increases the incidence of prostatic cancer. They know that, and they've suppressed that information very effectively through the years, and they're telling us to drink 3 glasses or 3 cups of milk a day. Why would they do something like that? They know the statistics on the relationship between milk drinking and Alzheimer's disease and milk drinking and cancer of the prostate in males. And cancer of the prostate has increased dramatically since the government's been there looking after our health. Go ahead, Jack.
Stan, you know, milk's intended for small cows, not people. And, we have homogenized it, we have pasteurized it, we have killed all the mechanisms that were once in it that made it digestible. Almost everybody is lactose intolerant to a degree, and some more than others. But there's a section on our website called the Milk Connection that attributes milk to all kinds of things, including autism. And people can get that on our website at healthsourceinc.com. And this codex thing, get the back to that, they believe that foods and nutrients are not useful for treating disease. Supplements have little value because people can get limited amounts of vitamins that they need in their food, which is ridiculous. You know, we look at Africa and we look at other parts of the country, other parts of the world, and $1 worth of vitamin A can help save the life of children in Africa, and yet they're saying that the same amount of vitamin A will kill you in some cases. So, you know, this Codex Commission is dangerous. It is worldwide. Now, all of you that are listening that have any interest in Bible prophecy, listen to this. We know that there's been a chip designed for animals, right? We all know that.
The identification chips that they're investing in injecting right. into animals now, so they can identify them, both cows and domestic animals, dogs
right.
and cats, so that you can always find their owner. And that sounds really like a very logical explanation.
Sounds very innocent, doesn't it? But on the other hand, they have one design now for people, and you know, regardless. And I'm not an expert on this particular subject. But I find it terribly interesting that they're fighting nutrition, and I'm going to get to a point in a minute here. They're fighting the nutrition through the Codex Commission, and they're designing these chips. Now, these chips, some say, are just going to be used for tracking. Others say they're going to be used for controlling the mind. I don't really know what they're going to be used for yet. Don't want to know either. But the reason here, now this is the bottom line. This was brought across my desk yesterday, and there again, I don't know how much of it that I'm buying into yet. But the interesting point is that they want to regulate therapeutic nutrition, because guess what? Therapeutic nutrition, given at the levels that I practice and other people practice throughout the country, will interfere with the transmission of that device.
Well,
isn't that something?
Well, the thing that really bothers me, of course, is the chip, is that the fact that this could be utilized so that we would neither buy nor sell.
Sure.
Unless we had one of these chips in place. And this is the first time in all history, all recorded history, since John wrote the Revelation 2,000 years ago, when we've been in a situation where there was a technology so that you would be able to control all buying and selling. And you would have to have this mark or chip or whatever it would be so that you could buy or sell, or you'd be known by the number of his name, and his number is number is 666, which
right.
of course is the sign of the devil. And some people say, though, that sounds like crazy talk. Well, I would point out that if you read the writings of the occultists like Barbara Marks Hubbard and her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, where she actually quotes from the Book of Revelation, her book, she admits, was channeled to her by a spirit she called the Christ Spirit, and reading Revelation 6:8, she points out that, "And I look, and behold, a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed close behind, and mm-hmm. power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world."
Isn't that something?
And with the sword, and with hunger, and with the pestilence, and with the beasts of the world. Now, you know, we're talking about a quarter of the population of the world. Could something like that ever really happen? Well, what Barbara Marks Hubbard talks about is the fact that this is going to have to come about because there's a quarter of the world that will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness. And she says, that is not your job, my dear, to kill them. That is our job, because we are the riders of the pale horse,
right.
death. And Barbara Marks right. Hubbard is one of the wealthiest women in the world, ran for the vice presidency, Democratic nomination in 1984 against Gerald Ferrara. There really are people out there who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world, because after Revelation 6:8, then things really get bad. And so I would certainly heed what Dr. Clooney is saying. There really are people, and begin, remember, they're talking about it by hunger, by the sword, by hunger, by pestilence, and by death.
And so, what causes hunger but the lack of nutrition, and the whether it's restraining food or the Codex Commission, wanting to restrict access to vitamins and minerals is, and the fact that in this piece that come across my desk, that said that the nutrition at the levels that we practice, and others practice around the country, would interfere with the transmission of the chip.
I don't really quite know how that would occur.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any documentation on that, or was that just a statement?
Well, I don't know.
And I would be very, very skeptical. There's so much disinformation out there.
Sure there is, but here's the key here. If this chip interferes with the way people function, and the immune systems respond to good nutrition, it makes a certain amount of sense. And what I'm doing is we're starting to research this. I put people on this, and I said, look, I want to know what the sources are and so on and so forth. But in today's world, it's a very interesting concept because of wars all over the world and so on and so forth. It's a very interesting concept that these things could be coming about. I'm not saying they are. And I'm kind of negative, you know, and like you, I want to know the facts.
Well, I think that what we do know that part of the CAFTA legislation that was passed, and of course the administration was totally dedicated to getting that through. They spent $50 billion, that's B billion, boy, billion dollars, on bribes to congressmen for a project for their district for about 30 congressmen to get them to vote for the CAFTA. And one of the provisions in CAFTA would actually allow the bringing into law here in the United States of this codex legislation, the Codex Alimentarius, which would allow the government then to, and actually not simply our government, but an international body, and our government would have be then forced to go along with that, that would limit our access to vitamins. Now, why is that important? Well, first of all, human beings do not produce vitamin C. All other animals produce it except fruit bats and I think guinea pigs. So we need vitamin C supplements for health, and this is what certainly have been known for many, many years. Linus Pauling wrote about that. We need extra vitamin C. We also need vitamin D, you know, in the wintertime if we're not getting out and getting a lot of sunshine. We need these things for health, and if you don't have them, why, you're setting yourself up for cancer and other degenerative diseases. You know, and there are people who know these things. There are people who know that milk isn't healthy for you. But why doesn't every doctor tell their patients that, especially the men, that there's a dramatic increase, doubling or even tripling, of the incidence of prostatic disease? What is it, double or triple?
I think it's triple now.
The incidence of prostatic cancer in men who drink milk regularly as adults.
Right.
So this is known. The scientific studies are there. They've spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on these studies and totally blacked out for the general population. And that is up on your website. The sources of documentation are there, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. At healthsourceinc.com, they have that information. If somebody wants to write me at Dr. Clooney, Dr. Clooney, Clooney, at healthsourceinc.com, and just write, I want to be kept up to date on the Codex situation, then I'll send you this research as we dig it up and whether it's valid or not.
And people would say, well, why would anybody want people to, you know, not to be healthy? Isn't that what it's all about? And I would like to point out, there are people who really do believe that the greatest blight on earth is humanity. And that's why, of course, you can go to the Georgia Guidestones, where they have in 8 different languages the 10 commandments that come from the dark side. Number one, maintain a population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. That means you're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world's population. And one very good way to do it is through nutrition. Well, Jack, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Okay, we were talking about these Georgia stones.
The Georgia Guidestones there in Elberton, Georgia, right.
Yes, and in Louisville, Kentucky, there is a large building that is the world headquarters for Humana Corporation. Now, Humana, of course, is a hospital. They own hospitals around the country. Now, I'm speaking. I was there several years ago, and you know, and I have no idea whether it's whether this display is still there or not. But at that time, a local pastor took me to this building, walked into the rotunda of this building, and the rotunda was filled with pagan gods, statues to pagan gods. These are ancient statues. These are not recreations. These are ancient statues. And in this pantheon type of center with pillars around it was a altar, an ancient Roman altar that Christians were sacrificed on. Now this is real stuff. This isn't recreations. So there are people that have a motive to take away this population, if you will. And you know, and I think Christians and people of faith are gonna be sought out, and our faith needs to be strong during those times. I think the church is going to see some dark days.
I'm sure there are. In fact, this is what Barbara Marks Huppert is talking about. This one quarter of the world population will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness. And I'm sure she's talking about the Christians, because the Christians make up almost a quarter of the world's population today.
Correct.
Somewhere between a fifth and a quarter.
The so, you know, if somebody wants some information, we will, once I get enough research, as I said, I put my people on it. And once I get enough research, I'll put it up on the website. I'm not going to put it up if it's not reliable information. But it's interesting in this time and date that this would surface. And it came through a very credible source, and I have to, you know, it wasn't their source, it was somebody else, so I need to research that.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that we have... run across, my friend, is we mentioned it just in the last few minutes of a program that I did with you, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. That is a book written by Mark Houston called What Your Doctor May Not Want You to Know About Hypertension. It's a revolutionary lifestyle nutrition program to fight high blood pressure. Mark Houston is a professor at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. He is the director of the Hypertensive Institute and Vascular Biology at St. Thomas Hospital at Vanderbilt University. And the book is fascinating. And we've had some people that, some of your listeners, call and ask for the book. And we have it. It's $14.95, and we'll charge you a little bit to ship it to you. But it is a fascinating book looking at nutrition and lifestyle, but nutrition instead of medication. Lifestyle changes, you got to, you know, all of us need to know how to...
Hold that right there. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Jack Clooney, and we're certainly talking about what you can do and how you can change your lifestyle and really improve your health. He's been talking about a book that's written by a professor, I believe, at Vanderbilt University, but a man who deals with hypertension and feels that much of this can be treated simply with proper nutrition. So pick up the story there, Jack.
60% of Dr. Houston's patient load is controlled with vitamins, minerals, and not medication. Hypertension, everybody has it. None of us control our stress levels the way we ought to. None of us exercise like we ought to. Or very few of us, anyways. Certainly I don't. But the book is a fascinating book. It is a revolution in nutrition and lifestyle. He talks about how man has evolved, if you will, that our species has, you know, gone from from basically hunter-gatherers to basically, you know, fast food. That we used to go out and kill our own food and stay out until we had enough food to bring back for our families, and now we just go to the corner to the arch and slop down some fatty foods. So he talks about how our systems have changed over the years. He talks about certain vitamins, trace minerals, amino acids that are depleted from our body every day, and vitamins that are depleted under stress. Now, it's a fascinating book. It's I think $14.95, and it's a great book. And if you'll give us a call at 888-866 let's see, 888-266-1043. We can send it to you. But you know, my friend, it's as long as you know, the longer we look at this stuff. I just met with a doctor today that he and his partner are coming around to believing me and starting to refer people to me for advice and so on. And we can offer that to your listeners if they want to sit down and talk to me. We can arrange a time on the phone where we can set aside some time and put together a program for anybody with anything. But
well, certainly there's so much as far as hypertension is concerned, and then they, of course, have changed the definition. When I always went to medical school and when I practiced medicine, why, hypertension was your systolic blood pressure was 100 plus your age. And but, of course, if you accepted that, I'm 76 now, going on 77, my systolic would be 177, but they couldn't get me onto antihypertensive medications if they accepted that, so they've got to lower that. Oh, we've got to get your systolic blood pressure down to 120, because if you don't, you're going to die. Well, of course, we're all going to die anyway. I've had this sort of blood pressure going back for well over 50 years, and you start knocking down a blood pressure that's been running 100, and, well, mine actually runs about 150 to 160 systolic. You start knocking that down, you can get into all sorts of problems. And you read the statistics, you know, and the vast majority of the people are not going to be helped by this. About 2% of the people are helped by, you know, lowering their blood pressure down. But what about the complications that go along with that? Far better to, you know, try to get it down by losing weight and exercise and so many other things that can be done. And I agree with Dr. Clooney of that there's altogether too much medication. And by changing the definition of hypertension, by changing the normal level of cholesterol, so that we've got to get our cholesterol down to ridiculously low and dangerous levels, they're actually, I think, creating more problems than they're helping.
Oh, I do too. And with the, and we've talked about this before, the amount of mental illness that's coming into view by cholesterol that is altogether too low, whether it's depression or psychosis or so on, has to be seen, and the cholesterol issues have to be dealt with.
Well, the thing is your brain is primarily made up of fat, and of course ordinarily the liver functions by producing cholesterol so that you'll have the amount of cholesterol you should have. Now they want to poison the liver to get the cholesterol down, and you really can do it. You can see those levels fall, but what does it do to your health? What does it do to your brain? What does it do to your mood, to your response? And, of course, they don't want to talk about that. All they want to talk about is, my goodness, we got your cholesterol level down. But to 70, 176, we're going to be right back here in just a moment. Well, I guess this evening, Dr. Jack Clooney. And Jack, why don't you pick up the story there?
Okay, well, this, the hypertension, you know, and you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about hypertension over the years, and you know, high blood pressure is tricky to deal with from a natural point of view. And but when I met, you know, Dr. Houston, this is no slouch. This is Vanderbilt University. This is one of the top 10 medical schools in the nation. And the fact of the matter is that 60%, over 60% of his patient load is controlled with natural products. Now, arginine, he likes arginine a lot. Arginine is a amino acid. It is vital to the human body. It is vital to endothelial function. Endothelium swells, blood pressure goes up. So it's a rather simple mechanism that so far medical science hasn't seen, with the exception of Vanderbilt. So, you know, and I encourage people, and we've had several of your listeners call for this book. It's merely called What Your Doctor May Not Want to Tell You About Hypertension, or just ask for the Houston book, and we'll know what you're talking about. And another subject, Doc, is we've had several calls, and one today from a doctor that listens to your program, and asking me what our success with cancer has been. And of course, cancer is an attack on the immune system. And there is a protocol, and there again, it's on our website. If you go to healthsourceinc.com and click on the cancer link, there is a bunch of information there, and the research is quoted about a substance called IP6 and the use of certain mushrooms, and particularly the part of the mushroom called the mycelia that is the part of the mushroom that grows underneath the substrate or the earth. In our case, we use a mycelia that is grown in sterile surroundings and grown in rice bran. So it's completely sterile and it never sees dirt.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jack Clooney. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Clooney does help to support Radio Liberty. I want you to know that, but I believe what he says is absolutely right on. We wouldn't have him on. The thing is, we have to be so careful, because the government will come after anybody who says that there are things that will cure cancer besides chemotherapy or surgery or radiation. The problem is that for many of the cancers, these things are quite ineffective. And there really are, have been for many centuries, you know, herbal treatments, and there have been nutritional treatments that seem to have worked very well for cancer, but the government will not allow them. They actually done everything they could to keep Dr. Brzezinski's treatment for brain cancer from being authorized and used across our country. Why? Because it worked. The original work that was done at the Sloan Kettering Clinic on Laetrile showed that it worked, but they simply redid the studies and they fixed them to show it didn't work. Why would you do something like that? Well, we actually have an interview with a Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director for Planned Parenthood. Now, the interview was not with him, but somebody who heard his talk. With Dr. Richard Day talking back in 1969 in the interviews we call the New Order of the Barbarians, talked about how there really are too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. So they, meaning he and the people he worked with, were going to suppress effective treatments for cancer and keep the knowledge there stored away at the Rockefeller Foundation. If you want to hear these interviews, and we have a transcript of what was said, it is truly the most incredible, diabolical 4-tape set we have. And since it seems to correspond very closely with Dr. MacArthur testifying before Congress, asking for $10 million to create a new disease as a means of mass killing, that was in 1969, there certainly seems to be a certain validation of what was said, especially since almost everything that was said in 1969, including making second-rate American cars so that Japanese cars would be far more competitive, all these things have come true. Well, let's right now, Dr. Cluny, I'd like you to get your telephone number and your website out again so people would know how to get in touch with you.
Okay, the telephone number is 888-266-1043. 888-266-1043. And the website is healthsourceinc.com.
That's healthsourceinc.com.
Right. And and you're absolutely right. You know, Stan, when the government suppresses this information, the information on the website about both IP6 and mycelia and so on is what it does. Not, you know, we don't, you know, we're not making any claims, and never did, never will, about certain things curing disease. But read the research done by University of Maryland, done by Boston University or Harvard, and done by a lot of other people. Read the research, and, you know, people need to be, you know, educated. That's what your program is all about. That's what we're all about. And if they take this information, read it, call us, get your information, make your decisions. You know, it's an immune problem, and jump-starting the immune system will make any of us feel better. So, you know, I just urge your listeners to go to our website at healthsourceinc.com, you know, click on the cancer link, and no place do we say that we can cure cancer. But I believe the nutritional advice that we offer can help you live healthier.
And not only thing, the thing is that ordinarily we all have cancer cells in our body, but our immune system will take care of them. And I can remember, rarely, but I can remember, certainly when I was a young, very young doctor, seeing a woman whose body was just riddled with metastasis. And I was sure we were sending her home to die, and I remember seeing her husband 6 months or so later, and he told me his wife had completely recovered. In other words, her immune system had been able to deal with that cancer. Now, this doesn't ordinarily happen, because the average person is given so many things, you know, to treat the cancer that suppress the immune system, it's like fighting a fire with gasoline.
Absolutely.
You really need to be, understand what's going on, and certainly understand that having an intact immune system is the key to good health. We've got John calling from Spokane, so we'll put him on. John, did you have a question for Dr. Cluny?
Hi, Dr. Stan and Dr. Cluny.
How
really enjoy your program, Dr. Stan. And I had a couple quick questions, if possible, if you have time.
Go ahead.
The first one is, do you think that mad cow disease can come across a cow's udder in an infected cow and infect the milk, and thereby be transmissible to a human through cow's milk?
Do you have any thoughts on that, Dr. Cluny?
Well, the mad cow disease is a neural system problem. Now, I believe that if the cow has mad cow disease, then it can be transmitted by anything that comes from that cow, and potentially even the milk. Of course, everybody knows my feeling on milk. Milk's intended for small cows, not people. So, you know, it shouldn't be consumed by human beings anyways. But I think mad cow disease is not a problem in the United States, although it's, we're starting to see more of it, and it's growing in popularity among, cows. But I do believe that there is an issue, and I don't know for sure if it can be transmitted through milk, but I'm assuming that it can.
John, I really don't know either. It's out of my field of expertise. The only thing I really know about mad cow disease is one encounter I had with somebody from the federal, the Farming Administration, whatever the Farming Administration is. And, you know, he had been giving a talk on mad cow disease and how there were certainly certain farmers who wanted to test their cows for mad cow disease so that they could ship the meat to Japan, because the Japanese would not allow any cows in there that had not been tested for mad cow disease to be brought into Japan, and the American government wouldn't let him test his cows, before they were shipped to Japan. So I said to this gentleman, after he'd finished giving his talk, why won't they let, this man test his cows? Well, that was because he might find some of them were ill and think the impact it would have on the meat business, on the, certainly on the slaughterhouses. Well, I said, don't you think we ought to know? Well, he said, we can't do routine testing here in the United States because we might get a false positive. And I said, you got a false positive, you test it to find out whether it's real or not. Why won't you allow widespread testing in the United States? And it was obvious they wouldn't allow widespread testing in the United States because they were afraid of what they might find. This was some fellow who was a federal employee, but he told me that they were going to do some testing here. They were going to test 250,000 cows sometime to find out if it was really here in our herds. They don't know because they're not looking for it. And it's exactly that same mentality that was used with the AIDS epidemic. Oh, we can't do routine testing and try to stop the disease. Why, we might get a false positive. We might find somebody had the disease and think the psychological harm it would do. Or if we did widespread testing, would drive the disease underground. And as a result of that attitude, 500,000 Americans are dead. Another well over 1 million are infected. And millions more will die in America and throughout the world because we're not doing what's logical with AIDS. We're certainly not doing what's logical with mad cow disease. And in Japan, they insist that all cows be tested. Here in the United States, we say we don't have anything to worry about. How do you know? Well, you don't know because we're not testing. Does that answer your question, John?
Well, it certainly does. I appreciate your opinions on that. And perhaps we could attribute part of the problem to the very strong cattle lobby, though I don't have anything against the cattle industry. Maybe sometime in the future they'll come up with an inexpensive test that can make the testing of cattle routine.
It's not that expensive. It could be done. They just won't do it.
I see.
Because, now, you see, there are people who are not concerned about our health.
Well, doctors, what do you think about, in respect to milk consumption, of finding a substitute for it? What do you think of soy milk and rice milk that you see in boxes at the grocery store?
What do you think of that,
My preference is rice. It's higher in protein. Soy is okay, but there can be problems with soy if it's not prepared right. But rice would be my preference.
And I'm very concerned about soy and soy products because I think there's glutamate in them, and of course glutamates are not good for you. So I would certainly agree with the rice. Anything else, John?
No, that'll be it, and thank you very much, doctors.
All right, God bless, and let's go to Jeanette calling. Well, I guess we lost Jeanette from Watsonville. So if anybody's out there would like to talk to Dr. Clooney, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Why don't you go ahead, Jack?
Well, there are a lot of interesting subjects coming on that we're tracking. Certainly, this Codex Commission is one of them. Certainly, the mad cow situation is another. And I have some philosophies that I'm not ready to talk about yet about why the mad cow thing is being suppressed, but there is the rise in autism is terribly, I'm terribly concerned about that particular thing. The rise in autism and the rise in so-called ADD type of situations.
Now, but how about, of course, this goes right along with the rise in Alzheimer's disease, which is
absolutely
directly related to the vaccination, influenza vaccination, in elderly people. And we've known that for a long time, and they've suppressed that from the elderly. And anybody wants to document that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the abstract of Dr. Fudenberg. That's F-U-D-E-N-B-E-R-G. Dr. Fudenberg's work, and we'll give you the sheet off of his website. Tells you 1,000% in Alzheimer's disease if you're foolish enough to do what your doctor tells you to do.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, let's go to Jeanette, who's calling us from Watsonville. Hi, Jeanette. Did you have a question?
I have a question about milk. I missed the first part of your program. When you talk about milk, do you also include the organic milk?
Well,
with your concerns?
Yes. The organic milk is less of a problem than other milks. But we're the only mammal on the face of this earth that drinks milk after we're weaned, first of all,
right,
and drinks another mammal's milk on top of that. So, you know, I have a medical doctor friend of mine that says that nobody over the age of 7 needs milk. Well, you know, I agree with him, but I don't think anybody needs milk. The organic milk is certainly better because it has the enzymes in it that allow it to be digested. But you have to think now that it's another mammal's milk. And whether we're using milk or, you know, we have a tendency to think that one thing is the same regardless of species. This is where we got in trouble with the with Premarin, pregnant mare's urine, being used to treat women with menopause symptoms. Estrogen milked from the horse, from the mare, through the urine. So it's the same type of thing. So, you know, it's organic milk is certainly better, but I'd recommend no milk at all.
And there are some studies that suggest that children develop juvenile diabetes because of drinking milk, you know, after a certain age. It's fine, you know, for an infant, but as the child grows, you know, even though we've all told we should drink our milk, and the government is telling us to drink milk, they know the terrible diseases it creates. Anything else, Jeanette?
Oh, no. Thank you.
God bless. And let's go to Ron calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. Dr. Clooney?
Yes, sir.
This isn't related to milk. What about some of these other milk products like ice cream and cottage cheese, and butter, and yogurt, etc.?
Well, certainly. You know, we don't consume as much butter as we do milk in this country. There does not seem to be the issues with butter as there is with milk. And doesn't appear to be the same issues with cheese as there is with milk. And it has something to do, and I'm not a chemist, but it has something to do with the processing and the fermentation and so on and so forth, or whatever they do for it. But you know, when it comes to milk, milk is intended to feed the calf. Human milk is intended to feed human babies. And you know, with ice cream is somewhat the same. There again, anything in, you know, if you have a bowl of ice cream twice a year or even once a month, you know, I'm not saying that this is going to kill you. I'm just saying that to live in optimal health, we need to get dairy products out of the diet.
And I'll tell you, Ron, since I've been doing this study and work on this, well, I'm drinking a lot less milk than I used to, and I used to drink, you know, a glass of milk with every meal, and no longer is that true. The scientific studies are there on the relationship to prostatic cancer and Alzheimer's disease. And why don't you go to Dr. Clooney's website and check this out? Anything else, Ron?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Let's go to,
thank you, sir.
You're more than welcome. Let's go to Lloyd calling from Dayton, Washington. Hi, Lloyd. Question for Dr. Clooney?
Yes. What about goat's milk and raw milk? I know pasteurized milk isn't good for you. How about raw milk and goat's milk?
Well, we just had a listener talking about raw milk the situation is that raw milk is better for you than pasteurized milk,
right?
But it's still milk, and goat's milk is better than cow's milk, but it's still an animal's milk that is not human.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
That's where I would stand on that.
Okay, anything else, Lloyd?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And obviously, there are a lot of people out there who are concerned about these things, but the scientific studies are there. They're not imaginary. The average doctor doesn't have time to read these things. He doesn't go to nutritional courses. He reads what he reads in a medical journal. That's all he's got time for and what goes to the meetings. But these things, of course, are known to people who study nutrition. And believe me, the information comes from your tax money, because your tax money has funded these studies, and you'll find many of these up on Dr. Clooney's website. Do you have that study on Alzheimer's disease?
I believe I do.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Jack Clooney. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, and we've had some interesting calls tonight. What I would encourage people to do is don't take our word for it. Do their own research. Go to my website, your website. Go to healthsourceinc.com and look at the information that we have there. We have also a newsletter that you can request if you drop me a line. Just go to healthsourceinc.com, hit contact us, and send me an email saying that you'd like to be put on our email newsletter, and we'll do that. But, you know, be informed. And people are working against us to make vitamins and minerals unobtainable. People do not want us to really know how to take care of ourselves. I believe God has given us everything within our bodies that we need to take care of ourselves if we know how to do it.
And, of course, we need to know what foods we should be eating, what supplements we should be having. And there are so many things in the way of herbs that have been out there for many years in various food supplements that really can help your health and help you live a long and prosperous and healthy life. But there's so much of this information is being actively suppressed. And whenever you see the government food pyramid, just shudder and say, look, a couple of years ago you were telling us something, and now you're telling us something different.
Never has been right.
Never has been right. And, of course, certainly there are good people working in government, but there are other people there who have a different agenda. Well, you've got a minute to wrap up the program for tonight.
Well, Stan, if people will go to our website, go to the special sections over on the right side, they'll see the Milk Connection, Diet Pop, Tylenol, and different things down there. Then give us a call if you want. We have products that we can ship you, and a lot of people are picking up on our flagship multiple vitamin, and just because it's the best in the country. But, you know, give me a call at 888-266-1043. Or drop me a line from the website, and let's talk about your health.
One more time, that telephone number?
888-266-1043.
1043. All right, Jack. Well, I guess it's been Dr. Jack Clooney, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
And you too. Bye-bye. All right, fine. And that's Dr. Jack Clooney. And isn't it amazing now when people sort of laugh when you say, Merry Christmas? Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out across America on over 60 different outlets every single week. That's that satellite, internet, shortwave, and then about well over 50 stations. So we do need your help, and we hope many of you will feel that what we're saying is worthwhile. Now, if you'd like to challenge anything you hear here, for instance, the fact there's a definite relationship between the Alzheimer's disease and the elderly and taking the influenza shots, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'd be glad to get you the documentation on that. If you go to my website at www.radioliberty.com, that's radioliberty.com, you can pull down my treatise on the population control agenda and read very obviously that there is a planned program to dramatically decrease the population of the world. They really want to kill off a large number of the people. Those of you who would be more interested, that we have a talk. It's called the Planned Population Reduction. It's a talk we gave for the Prophecy Club, and it's available on video or DVD. If you'd like more information, you can certainly call our telephone number at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We certainly have a great new newsletter. It goes into the background of why the price of natural gas and heating oil and oil products and gasoline has gone up. It's called Peak Oil 2. And if you'd like to, we'll be glad to send you a copy of that. Of course, that's our October newsletter. And if you have access to the internet at www.radioliberty.com, you can go to our website and pull it down. But if you'd like a free copy of the letter, give us a call. And we'd be glad to send it to you. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then we hope that, of course, you'll encourage others to listen to our programs. If you're listening to this program, a rebroadcast on the Here's Help Radio Network, remember that we do a program in your area at 12:30 every Saturday, and your job is to get others to listen. And let me try to convince them that what we're saying is true. To understand what we're talking about and why there would be people who would try to conceal the truth about the dangers of milk, the dangers of water fluoridation. And, of course, they want to fluoridate our water because it decreases fertility, because it lowers the intelligence, because it produces cancer, it weakens the bones, attacks the endocrine system, increases the incidence of Down's disease, actually lowers the testosterone levels and sperm counts. They know all of these things. The scientific studies are all there. Go to fluoridealert.org. That's fluoridealert.org. Or you can pull down my newsletter from my website. I think it's last November, November of 2004. The information's there. Find out if it's really true. Would anybody want to poison the American people? Would anybody want to poison our children with vaccinations that they know will be harmful? Well, pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Andrew Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're going to be talking about what's really going on in the world today. Now, if you read the controlled press in America, you're going to get exactly what they want you to get. I mean, occasionally there'll be some articles there that will be true. They can't censor everything, but they do a pretty good job of it. World Affairs Brief will tell you what's in the Asia Times, what's in the India Times, what BBC and Reuters are reporting, what the best columnists in America, people like Paul Craig Roberts from the conservative point of view, or Seymour Hersh from the liberal point of view, but I think they're both honest men, and they have tremendous insight and tremendous sources of information, and this is why I think that World Affairs Brief is such an important part of my morning. When I first get up, I check my emails, and then I go to World Affairs Brief to find out what's really going on in the world, so I can then come on the radio and address the various issues. And it's amazing how often people will call in and ask me questions, and I know the answer because I read it, information on World Affairs Brief. Andrew Skousen, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us what the issues are that you think are important right at the present time.
All right. I've got tomorrow's World Affairs Brief with me. I've got kind of an advanced copy here. I'd like to go over some of the stories that will be coming out tomorrow.
All right, fine. And for those of you who don't know why, World Affairs Brief is written by Joel Skousen, Andrew's dad, who's certainly had worked in intelligence when he was in the military, has contacts throughout the world, and has tremendous insight into what's going on. Not what the news is, but what's the news behind the news? What are the real implications of what you're reading in the controlled media? So pick up the story there.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of very interesting stories that have come to light. I'd like to talk about an issue that was brought to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals by a fellow named John Gilmore. The issue at stake is that John, or Mr. Gilmore, tried to sort of test the law about airport travel security by trying to board a flight that he had paid for without showing identification. He had checked to make sure that he couldn't find any law that was on the book that required this. And, of course, they demanded to see some kind of identification as part of airport security. What I think most people don't realize is that there isn't any official law to back up this requirement that we know of. For instance, if someone's just stopped on the street while they try to get into their car or a city bus or any other kind of transportation, even by a police officer, they can walk away without showing a form of identification. There isn't a law that requires them to show ID. And so John thought that he could try this out in the same kind of circumstance, trying to board an airplane. And they refused to let him on board. And so this is going on in the courts right now. And it's having some very interesting effects. It's bringing some very interesting laws.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen talking about the effort to determine whether they have a right to demand your identification in America. But then, of course, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, one of the phrases that was used so frequently in Nazi Germany was, wie wollt ihr see your papers, wie wollt ihr see your papers. Everybody had to have their papers and their identification. Well, increasingly, this is becoming true in America, because, of course, we want to thwart Osama bin Laden by making sure that every American has identification papers. Of course, we're not trying to seal the border, where people, any terrorist can just simply walk into our country, certainly unassisted. No, we wouldn't want to do that, but we want to make sure every American has papers. And then, of course, they can say this in the name of doing away with illegal aliens people who are coming to this country illegally. They don't have papers. Well, so we allow them to come in, and then we create the crisis, and then we say, well, every American's going to have his ID papers, because that's the only way we're going to control the flow of illegal immigrants, which we have been actively encouraging through all of the actions of our government in violation of our own laws. So the government breaks the law, brings in the illegal aliens, encourages them to come in, gives them all sorts of advantages and free education, free medical care, and of course does not prosecute the large industries that hire them. But then, of course, to try to cure the problem they've created, now they want us all to have papers. So pick up the story there, Andrew.
All right. Well, this John Gilmore, who was trying to test the limits of this paper requirements, received a very interesting response when he took this issue to court. His lawyers tried to get the lawyers for the government to show him the law, and the government attorneys responded something very interesting, that yes, there was a law, but it's secret. In other words, they said that there was a law on the books, but nobody can read the law. It's just absolutely amazing to have a law that we are required to live by, but it's never published or gone through normal legislative procedures, is amazing, to say the least.
Well, what was the court's response to that?
Well, it said that the government states that it could identify that there was a law, a secret law, under seal, which they would make available only to the Ninth Circuit judges, but not to Gilmore's lawyers.
And certainly not to the rest of us.
Precisely.
And so they don't want the American people to know there's a secret law, but there is a secret law. So what did the judges say in response to that?
Well, the three-judge panel at this Ninth Circuit Court...
Hold on now for just a moment. We'll be right back here with our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Andrew Skousen was saying that this gentleman who's taken the case to court as to whether or not they can demand to see his papers, his lawyers were told by the government officials there is a secret law. It's so secret nobody can see it, but we want to assure you the law exists, but it's sealed, and the public, neither you nor your defendant or his lawyers can see it. We will show it to the lawyer, to the judges of the three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, but we have a secret law that justifies what we're doing. So what happened, what was the response of the lawyers to that, the judges to that?
The judges were a little skeptical of this, and didn't see much of an application for secret laws and regulations, but they stopped short of suggesting that such a rule would be necessarily unconstitutional, which of course it is. They did say, how do we know there's an order? I mean, because you said there was, they ask, and they ask rhetorically. James Harrison, who is the lawyer representing Gilmore, said, this is America. We don't have secret laws, period.
And, well, we do have secret laws. We have all sorts of secrets.
That's right.
As we cannot let the American people know the truth about so much, because they're just not as smart as the elite that rule the country.
Right. And I did a little bit more reading on this just now, and the government is stating that the reason that there's that phrase at the bottom of tickets that says passengers without ID may be denied boarding, and yet you can't find any law to back up that requirement, is because they say that the law is part of the of the transportation security, and that it's therefore a sensitive security information.
Is it that we don't want Osama bin Laden to find out about the law?
Precisely. But
I mean, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is what they use to justify all sorts of things. Oh, the wicked Osama bin Laden, why, if we couldn't endanger national security, why, we couldn't let al-Qaeda know what is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we've never tried to get, Osama bin Laden. We've never tried to capture him. We're not trying to capture him now. We need him out there because, of course, if he weren't there, this whole Islamic terrorist movement would end. As we cut off the funding from Saudi Arabia and from the PLO that we're financing and from Pakistan that we're financing, this whole thing would go away if we were approaching it at the correct point of view. Instead of that, they're using the threat of Islamic terrorism to take away the freedom of the American people.
And yet it's quite surprising that up until now we haven't actually run into anyone else request this law. I mean, we've been submitting ID for air travel for a year or more now. And yet as a public, we just naturally assume, okay, well, it's just another security measure, and no one ever stopped to think, well, now wait a minute, is this infringing on my rights? We just kind of allow ourselves to be slowly funneled down these chutes more and more, and allow little by little these encroachments on our security, as long as they don't unnecessarily hamper us to a great deal or hamper a great deal of the population all at the same time, then our resolve to cry out just kind of quells and disappears and gets lost among the masses.
And then how many people have the money to take a case into court and then to take it into the appeals court and then to take it out to the Supreme Court if necessary? You're talking about millions of dollars to do this, and how many people wouldn't find it just a lot easier just to show them the idea? But you see, that's how freedom is lost, and that's why we need people who are willing to take a stand and say, what you're doing is unconstitutional. How can all you government employees violate the laws and the constitutional protections that we have as American citizens? And the trouble is, we have a massive bureaucracy who do what they're told in America, just as they had a massive bureaucracy that did what they were told in Hitler's Germany and Benito Mussolini's Italy. And they were good people. They were just carrying out orders.
That's right. And little by little, I predict that we will see more and more requirements for showing our various forms of identification to people, and very likely we will come up to a time when there will be a national ID issued for everyone, and we'll probably have to start showing that as well. Watch for it in the future. It'll happen step by step.
And of course, the next thing is going to be a chip. We're going to have an inserted chip because somebody could steal your ID and change your ID, but they can't steal the chip because it's implanted in you. Could this happen in America? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no question. It's not only it can happen, it is going to happen, unless, of course, people begin to understand not only the political, but the spiritual implications of what's taking place today.
Very good point, and very well put.
Okay,
in
go ahead.
In the same vein, I'd like to talk a little bit about the attempts to reauthorize the Patriot Act. This is a very similar kind of thing, but this is something that is actually passing through the legislative process, and is not, well, the majority of it is not secret. However, to be able to completely understand how they are using this law is akin to secrecy. Patriot Act, as many people know, has been widely criticized since it was swept through Congress shortly after the September 11th attack. And a story that appeared in The Nation talks a good deal about this. It's been about 4 years since it's been passed, and at the time that it passed, a lone senator had the courage to stand up against legislation with the title a euphemistic title, I might add, called the Patriot Act, which in fact had nothing to do with being patriotic.
And nothing to do with Islamic terrorism either, because right. there's not one mention of the word Islamic terrorism in that whole act. And they've redefined terrorism as anybody who wants to change our form of government. Well, that would be the people on the Supreme Court and most of the people in the legislature today. They would be, if you really were to give a strict interpretation of what it says in the Patriot Act and the definition of terrorism, they would be our elected representatives and certainly our Supreme Court justices.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, the only term relative to terrorists is perhaps suspected terrorists, and that's a very broad term used in the Patriot Act, where almost anyone could be classified as a suspected terrorist. And if you are classified as a suspected terrorist under this legislation, you basically lose all of your civil rights. To go into the details of this a little more, though, after it was passed, multiple communities throughout the United States passed resolutions condemning the assaults on the civil liberties, condemning these assaults that were contained in the Patriot Act. These happened in communities all across the United States, including Alaska, Colorado, Hawaii, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Vermont.
And you know what disturbs me most, Andrew, is it's really only the very liberal city councils, such as we have here in Santa Cruz, where I live, that would bother to do that. But the good conservatives and the good Christians wouldn't speak out because they can somehow justify any excess of government control and regulation as long as it's in the name of fighting communism or fighting Islamic terrorism or trying to circumvent the devious plans of Osama bin Laden.
That's correct.
And so we've accepted all of this in the name of fighting terrorism. We're not fighting terrorism. If we were really fighting terrorism, we would have sealed the border. If they were really fighting terrorism and there are all these wicked terrorists out there, why haven't there been any attacks on America? Any major attacks on America since September 11th, 2001, for almost 4 years? If there are all these Islamic terrorists in here in America just waiting to strike our country, couldn't one of them have derailed a train or done something of that sort? So maybe the threat of Islamic terrorism is not anywhere near as much as the people in government would like us to believe.
That's a very cogent point. I'm absolutely amazed at how vulnerable we are to terrorist attacks. I mean, if you take a look at the kinds of terrorist attacks that are taking place in Israel or Iraq right now, where the amount of security is much, much higher than anywhere here in the United States, and how easily a terrorist attack can occur and take place. We have virtually no protection here in the United States. I mean, it would be so easy to destroy railroad tracks or hamper some of the major freeways and highways here, which are unfenced and free to all kinds of mess making, and yet we see nothing despite all of this global threat that is supposedly impending on us that requires us to give up our civil liberties to be able to allow roving wiretaps and allow the government to seize library records and hospital records and business.
And they even put something in the latest bill about a methamphetamine laboratory and actually producing methamphetamine. What does that have to do with terrorism? Absolutely nothing. But, you see, they were able to get it through the legislation in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden. And this has been used, the Patriot Act has been used far more against criminal elements than against the terrorists. Massive extension of government control in the name of course, protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, and Andrew Skallison. He's talking about the renewal of the Patriot Act. I would just comment, one of the most flagrant things I've seen in a long time is the fact that there is a satellite up in the sky beamed directly at the United States called Telstar 5. In fact, we are on Telstar 5, and you can get our programs off there. But you can also pull down the Islamic terrorist network, Al Jazeera. And it is broadcasting here both in Arabic, and I understand it's soon going to be broadcasting in English. Its message of hate and violence for America, right down to the United States. Now, why would our government, if we're really at war with terrorism, allow a radical Islamic terrorist network, which is what Al Jazeera is, that's Osama bin Laden's network, where he releases all of his statements about kill Americans. Why would we allow that on an American satellite, an intel satellite, Telstar 5? Why would you do that? It's illogical that you would do that. Unless, of course, maybe you were promoting Islamic terrorism and you were hoping that some of the people would actually, some of the Muslims might be moved to acts of violence because of the hate propaganda that is on that satellite, that American satellite, beaming its message to American Muslims right this very minute. So pick up the story there. There are a lot of unanswered questions, aren't there, Andrew?
There are an amazing amount of unanswered questions, mostly concerning why these kinds of things are allowed to happen. It doesn't make any sense, if they truly are fighting terrorism, to allow some of these things, like you mentioned with this satellite broadcasting, to occur, unless there is some kind of hidden motive where they actually want to encourage and control the amount of terrorism that goes on, as a way of creating conflict and then allowing the government to provide a solution to the conflict, which necessarily entails giving up a few more of our fundamental rights to be able to allow them more in-depth tracking and more in-depth wiretapping and more in-depth surveillance to control these kinds of things. And we see this happen every single time a terrorist attack occurs. It's almost exactly a 1-2. You can almost forecast it as coming up in legislation soon after a terrorist attack. It happened right after 9/11. It happened right after the London bombings. Legislation came up soon after the Madrid bombing. And it's still coming up now with this. They're still trying to get the provisions of the Patriot Act extended, and they would prefer to have them enacted permanently. And there's a committee in the House of Representatives, which is led by hardline partisan leadership, Dennis Hastert, who is a Republican from Illinois. And he has, in fact, instead of responding to the public outcry, there are people from all walks of life and all political opinions who are all opposed to this legislation, and yet they continue to just rubber stamp the request of the Bush administration.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Andrew is simply pointing out that they are going ahead and actually rubber stamping the Bush administration's request for certainly maintenance of the Patriot Act. How many terrorists have we actually stopped from attacking here in America? Well, the government will tell them it's all sorts of them, but we can't let the American people know about it, because after all, that would mean that Osama bin Laden would find out about all the terrorists we would have arrested, or all the terrorist attacks would thwarted. But believe us, we would never lie to you. We have the intelligence, and of course, the Patriot Act is absolutely essential to protecting the freedom of the American people. Well, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe that any people who are willing to give up any bit of their individual liberty for security will lose both liberty and security. And the great tragedy, Andrew, is that there's nobody out there speaking out against this usurpation of government power other than the American anti-communist, I should say the anti-Christian lawyers union, the ACLU. I can't join with the ACLU, even though they're absolutely right on this issue. But the anti-Christian lawyers union certainly is taking a strong stand against this, but where are the good conservative organizations and the Christian organizations? They're all on the other side, backing the current administration. So where do those of us...
More and more of them are starting to realize, and I think a good portion of that is thanks to programs like yours, which help to educate people about the dangers of these. In fact, in that vein, let's go into a few of the specific provisions that they are trying to enact permanently with this new version of the Patriot Act that has, by the way, just passed the House and is awaiting approval in the Senate right now. A particular concern to civil libertarians is that this proposal extends several of the Patriot Act's most controversial provisions by authorizing both roving wiretaps, which allows them to monitor cell phone activity, to go from various addresses, including businesses and things, to tap all kinds of your communications, including cell phones, home phones, internet, email, and when any kind of application is put in, even down to a phishing license, it can allow the government to seize records from libraries, from hospitals, and businesses through any minor request that comes through the government. And it also allows the abusive use of so-called national security letters, which are the documents used by federal agencies to demand the records of these various institutions. So if this is passed, it basically takes away almost all of the Bill of Rights amendments that were passed to prohibit the government from unlawful searches and of our private areas of life, which is a very important civil right and something that people should be aware we are losing at this present time with the Patriot Act.
All right. Well, I agree with you. The one thing, though, that nobody ever wants to mention is they've always been tapping our telephone through Echelon, which is a NSA program.
Right.
They've always been tapping our emails. They've always been tapping our faxes. They've always been tapping all of these things and monitoring them by computers and on certain specific people. They monitor them regularly. They've always been doing it illegally. Now we're just making it legal. But certainly the Pentagon now is collecting dossiers on all American citizens, not on terrorists, on all American citizens. That is what's really scary to me. And we focus on the Patriot Act, but we're not focusing on the fact that our Defense Department is collecting dossiers on every American citizen. And, of course, if you doubt that, why, of course, General William Odom's book, 2003 Fixing Intelligence, asks the question, should the Defense Department be collecting information and dossiers on American citizens? So we focus on the Patriot Act, and yet, of course, all these other things are going on, and we just seem almost to ignore them. And this is the thing that's really so disturbing to me. I'm very concerned about the Patriot Act, and I'm concerned because the average American isn't concerned, and because so many good patriotic organizations and so many of the leaders of the mega churches are solidly in bed with the administration, justifying torture, justifying circumventing our liberties because the president is a Christian and we've got to back him in his lonely battle to bring democracy to the world. And he says, you know, maybe we were wrong in going in, but of course I think it was a good idea anyway. Well, Dr. Stan Becker at Radio Liberty, and just this last week, President Bush said, you know, the information we had that justified our going into Iraq was bad information, it was faulty information, but I was justified in going in because Saddam Hussein was a wicked man, and now, of course, we've freed the Iraqi people, and we're bringing democracy to them, so my decision was right, despite the fact that the intelligence we used to go in was wrong. And I can't quite understand that. 2,000 Americans are dead by the president's admission. 30,000 Iraqis, civilians are dead. The figure is probably closer to 100,000 and probably close to, you know, 40 or 50,000 Iraqi troops and all based upon faulty information. And but the president insists he was right because he has decided that we had to replace Saddam Hussein. Pick the story up there.
That's right, and the government's claim is that, well, we need more access to more information to be able to be more correct next time. So we need provisions like the Patriot Act provisions that are trying to be passed to be able to more closely monitor both the citizens in our country and all of those people that we suspect of being terrorists to be able to have a better idea of where the terrorists are, and it's proving to be very effective. Even true conservatives who should know better are backing the president and following behind him quite blindly in all of this masquerading.
And what's really so interesting is the Democrats are voting against the Patriot Act. The Republicans, who should be espousing freedom, are voting in favor of it.
That's
simply
exactly
because
right.
They have to support the president.
Yes, in fact, the one senator who opposed the Patriot Act initially was a very liberal senator by the name of Russ Feingold. And of course, we have to be careful who we trust, but it's quite an interesting mix of the people who are against the Patriot Act. There is one point I'd like to make about the opposition to the Patriot Act, and that is that as much as we want to support the opposition, we have to be careful of wolves in sheep's clothing who are part of this group. In particular, I'd like to mention Arlen Specter, a Republican from Pennsylvania, who is the chairman of the powerful Senate Judiciary Committee, and he is playing the role of being in opposition.
Hold that thought right there for a minute, please. Well, Andrew is pointing out that we really want to be careful of the people who are posturing in the Senate. And Arlen Specter, who is a liberal senator, and we might also mention that he's a high-degree Mason. He's always a really voted usually with the Democrats, even though he's a Republican. He was the one of the Republicans who switched over with the Democrats to oppose the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He had to, because Bill Clinton was a demolay, and he certainly couldn't vote to do anything to harm somebody from a Masonic family. But Arlen Specter has come forward, and he's opposing the Patriot Act. So pick up the story there.
That's right. Well, I just would like to point out that we think that this is in fact an intent of the proponents of the Patriot Act to try to get sort of a double agent in on the side of the opposition. Arlen Specter is considered a very powerful senator, so he can, by feigning to be in the camp of the opposition, can help control things there, can make big various moves. The bottom line is, this is someone who cannot be trusted. Way back in his history, he began with a role on the Warren Commission, which, as I'm sure you know, helped to or was instrumental in covering up the JFK assassination, and Arlen Specter was a key player in that. You just can't trust what this guy says, and the fact that he is feigning or that he is playing opposition to the Patriot Act is very suspicious, and
I think you're absolutely right. Oliver Spector was the man who popularized the idea of the magic bullet that went through President Kennedy, went through President Conley, shattered President Conley's right wrist and left bullet fragments, was shattered when it went into Governor Conley's left thigh, and then appeared in pristine condition with almost no lost metal, lying on the gurney next to Governor Conley in the there in a stretcher in the emergency room at the Parkland Hospital. And I agree with you. Of course, it's when the ACLU opposes the Patriot Act, whose side do you want to be on the side of the Patriots or the side of the ACLU? I don't want to be on either side, but I would oppose the Patriot Act for what it stands for, and yet I don't want to be on the ACLU's side. And what they're doing is really confusing a lot of people, saying, you wouldn't want to be with those radical leftists, would you? You better back the president. And what I say is, you don't want to be on either side. You want to stand for liberty and freedom.
Exactly, and it's a very powerful tactic to throw liberals onto proper causes, because it has a tendency to disperse many of the not deep thinking conservatives who tend to follow Bush but find themselves in opposition to him. But when they look around and find themselves on the same side of the fence as all of these liberals that they are normally in opposition to, it scares a great many of them away, and I think it's actually quite an effective tactic. I've always been suspicious of anything that the ACLU does, and I think that in this case they're playing this other side of the fence in an effort to alienate much of the conservative opposition to this bill that would otherwise be there.
Amen to that. And so if you oppose the Patriot Act, you will be attacked as being on the same side as the ACLU. Isn't it amazing how they play these little games and silence people? And I've actually heard people attacked because, of course, the ACLU is against this, the communists are against it, and you're against it. Therefore, of course, we know where you stand.
That's right. And there are multiple statements by many people. For instance, in the Washington Post, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said that Republicans and Democrats have discovered that concerns raised about the Patriot Act, impact on civil liberties, while sincere, were unfounded. There have been no verified civil liberty abuses in the 4 years of the Act's existence.
And he's lying. He's lying.
Exactly.
Through his teeth. We have a whole file of all the abuses of that.
That's right. Thousands of people arrested without charge. Hundreds who were refused habeas corpus, one of the most fundamental of rights, which is the right to have the government declare what law they have found you to be broken, and they've rigged military trials, quote unquote trials. They've had unlimited snooping on American citizens, not to mention an untold number that have been whisked around the world on CIA aircraft to be externally, quote unquote, rendered and tortured. Unfounded, indeed. I think that just because it isn't reported in the news and made a big deal about, this is ludicrous to claim that the Patriot Act hasn't affected people.
Even
it hasn't affected everyone to the extent that they see what it can actually do. Make no mistake, these things are out there in the books. Just because they aren't employing them and using them doesn't mean that they aren't egregious.
And what they are using them, this is the thing, they're using them in cases that have nothing to do with terrorism. This is amazing. But you're not ordinarily hearing this. When Alberto Gonzalez says this has never been used for anything but terrorism, he just is not telling the truth.
Correct. All right, well, let's switch gears. There's another story that I would like to cover that's fairly recently out in the news. The Bush administration, particularly President Bush, has been receiving a great deal of flack about the various torture scandals. You know, there was the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, and then the revelations about what was happening in Guantanamo Bay, and most recently the reports about CIA detention centers and the so-called rendering or torturing of unknown people throughout the world who are captured and then escorted by the CIA on CIA flights around Europe and to other countries where there are these holding facilities that are outside of the U.S. that are being used to extract information with torture methods. And
of course, the thing is that information that's gotten with torture is not valid. One reason, of course, they justified going into Iraq was because there was this one man who'd stated that there was a definite relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And, of course, the information had come when he was tortured, when he was in Egypt. And, you know, once he was released, he said it was all a lie, and I think it probably was a lie. And yet that information used from torture was used as part of the justification for our going to Iraq and killing probably close to 100,000 Iraqi citizens. The president will admit 30,000, but that the figure of 30,000 has been around for 6 months or more. And I think it's probably closer to 100,000 people. Are you really going to depend upon information you get from torture? So why are you bothering to torture? There are lots of ways to get information out of people, and torture is not an effective one, and they know that. So why are they doing it? I think they're doing it to inflame the Muslims of the world to get them to really willing to go to war with America. What other logical explanation would there be for them doing something so illogical when there are many other means with use of drugs to alter their mind? You do not have to torture people to get information. You can get it in many ways far more efficient.
That's right. Not to mention morally better. And under all of this pressure, President Bush has recently come out with a statement that he has revealed that the Pentagon, at Rumsfeld's direction, has tried to revise the requirements for what qualifies as torture or not to limit it. And it's interesting to note that Vice President Dick Cheney actually applied when this legislation was being put forward.
Now, this is the information put forward by John McCain that was passed by the Senate 90-9 that said the United States will not authorize the use of cruel, inhumane, or degrading, or dehumanizing treatment of prisoners. And the Bush administration said, if you put that into legislation, we'll veto it. And then they said, but of course we would never authorize torture, but if you put that into legislation, we'll veto it. That's sort of a mixed message. If you don't authorize torture, why do you say that you're going to veto information or legislation that says no cruel, inhumane, or degrading, or dehumanizing treatment of prisoners of war? The two are totally incompatible. Maybe that's why so many people are so confused.
That's right. And during the ratification of this bill, Vice President Dick Cheney tried to apply for exemption for the CIA. Now, why would you want to apply for exemption for the CIA for these forms of for this new interrogation standard unless you were allowing them to continue and wanted to allow them to have these interrogation methods? It's absolutely amazing that this has come out. I mean, it's basically an admissal that they are using torture methods and want to continue to use them. But what's very interesting is what has happened now. They've done a kind of an end run around this. They've held a big press conference now saying, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to establish new interrogation standards. And the new interrogation standards are going to follow the Army Field Manual, which in the past has strictly prohibited torture. And the McCain Amendment is establishing that the Army Field Manual be adopted for its interpretation of coercive interrogation techniques, which, as you mentioned, prohibits the various forms of explicit torture. But what is interesting is that thinkprogress.org has recently revealed that at Secretary Rumsfeld's direction, they are rewriting the Army detainee standards. They are rewriting the Army Field manual, which has just recently been adopted as the new interrogation standard, and they're making it classified so that the public won't know what the new interrogation standards are. It's just absolutely amazing. It's so slick. Here they can hold a large conference saying, okay, we know about all these reports. Here's the standards. The Army Field Manual is an established set of rules, and it's been acknowledged to be to prohibit terrorist methods, and this is going to put an end to all of these things that were beyond our control or may have gotten out of hand, and it's all going to be good, and everyone can go to sleep. And then, behind the curtains, they'll go back and rewrite all of the standards and step through them while no one's looking and rewrite them to most likely allow it, but who knows? I mean, if they won't make it public, then there's something that they're trying to hide there, for sure. And it's an absolutely hypocritical way of proceeding, in my opinion.
What you're really saying is the president has said we would never allow torture. I mean, we are a moral people. We would never allow torture, and furthermore, we're not going to do it anymore.
That's right.
but the reason we're not going to do it anymore is because we're going to change the definition of the word torture. It's sort of like, the tests that they give our children, you know, to find out their scholastic achievement, and they really do great until you analyze the tests and you find out that they've dumbed the test down so they don't test anything of any value anymore, so everybody can pass the test. And if you really test the children, almost, well, 80% of them will fail. So, and this is exactly what they're doing as far as this torture is concerned. We would never authorize torture, and we're not going to do it anymore.
Now, yep.
You can't have it both ways, ladies and gentlemen. Either they're lying when they say that we would never authorize torture, or they're lying when they say we won't do it anymore, or they're simply going to change the definition of the word. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And believe me, the Muslims are a lot smarter than the average American, and they're going to see through this. And do you really think that they're going to respect Christianity? They see what's happening to their people, and they identify with them, and they say that's what Christianity is about. It's about hypocrisy. And I would like to suggest that by the year 2008, you're not going to be able to get either a Republican or a Christian elected dog catcher anywhere in America. And, of course, it's all a direct result of the hypocrisy of the current administration and the support for it by the leaders of the major Christian denominations in the United States.
Exactly right. And that's precisely what is happening now. All of our nightly news are reporting on this McCain amendment, and all around the world they're hearing about the changes to the field manual, and they're not dumb. They can see what's going on here and can't believe how stupid we are to think that this is a good thing and allow it to pass. And know that no changes are going to be made because of all of this. And it really does affect the perception of good Christian America in the eyes of all these other people. And I think it's done purposely so. It is done to show or to create and inflame hatred among the other countries, as you so well put.
Okay, go on. What's the next issue?
Let's talk about the air marshals and the attack on this fellow who supposedly had a bomb. I'm sure that most people will remember about the same sort of situation that occurred in London when security soldiers there gunned down a fellow who they claimed was running away and appeared to have a menacing weapon or bomb on him, or seemed to have a big coat with some bulky things, and they thought that he had a bomb and they shot him down. Well, in the same vein, many people will remember that U.S. Air Marshals shot and killed a man who they said was yelling that he had a bomb in his carry-on bag. The newswithnews.com has a little bit more details about the story. This fellow's name was Rigo Alfazar, and he apparently had bipolar syndrome and became sort of affected when he got onto the plane and ran down the aisle yelling, "I've got to get off, I've got to get off." And he was scrambling towards the door, made it off the airplane, and was shot by U.S. air marshals who happened to be on the same plane.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Andrew Skousen. Oh, Andrew, let's get your telephone number out, can we?
Yes, absolutely. People can get a contact with the World Affairs Brief by calling toll-free 1-877-518-5888. That's 877-518-5888.
All right, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead, and you were talking about this this man. Apparently, he was yelling, "I've got to get off." Did he say anything about a bomb or taller, or did they make that up to justify shooting him? Do we know?
Well, it turns out that even major news organizations such as Time and CNN couldn't find even a single passenger who heard the victim say the word bomb. Of course, the feds later sold the story to the press and quickly concocted the story that there was both a shoe bomber alert that put the air marshals on high alert, quote unquote, and caused them to react the way that they did to the fellow.
But don't everybody think that they are instructed, if they think there's anybody who has a bomb, to kill him? This is why they did this in Great Britain. I mean, the police were there, were told. I mean, this guy's laying on the ground, you know.
Right.
He's completely surrounded. And they actually, when he's down flat on his back, they put a gun to his head and shoot him five times, something like that. But that's what they're told to do. They're told to kill them because they might reach and explode the bomb. Of course, he didn't have a bomb, and he wasn't a terrorist, and everything we were told about it is not true. And in fact, now they're even talking about paying his family a few million dollars to quiet them down, but the officers were simply doing what they were ordered to do, and I suspect this is the way that the air marshals are trained as well, isn't it?
That's right.
To shoot to kill, not to shoot to wound, not simply to shoot to kill. And that's rather frightening, that they're, especially when there's some question as to the justification for it.
Right, and the bigger issue here isn't so much that they used deadly force. In fact, I personally am of the opinion that there should be the armed personnel on the flight. I personally think that the co-pilot should be armed. I think that that's a much better solution to things. But the bigger issue here is that the propensity of that government has to cover for its mistakes by lying and completely misstating the facts. It's one thing to acknowledge fault, but to completely cover up an entire story with these lies about people, I think is inexcusable. I think that they should explain the purposes of the air marshals and why they reacted as they did. But I think it's too easy to use the cover-up card. And I think that this is a reflection of how easy it is for the government to cover up the actions.
And if they'll lie about one thing, they'll lie about everything. We're out of time. Andrew,
yes.
God bless. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan, as always.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Andrew Skousen, and I think Andrew's point is very good. Government lies. And, for instance, when they killed Jesse Trentadue, and you've never heard about Jesse Trentadue, he was a young man who had been picked up as being held in detention in a federal prison in Oklahoma shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, and they beat him to death. And there was blood all over the cell and on the roof, and people heard the screams of this, and then the government covered it up, and they offered to cremate the body. The family would not have that, and of course authorities didn't realize that Jesse Trentadue's brother was an attorney who took the case to court, and they got over $1 million settlement for the family. for the brutal murder of this man in detention. And, of course, actually it involved the murder of several other prisoners that heard it, and they killed other people to keep them from testifying, and yet still there was over $1 million settlement. Not one word in the controlled media. Now, you can go up on the Internet and look up Jesse Trentadieu, T-R-E-N-T-A-D-E-A-U, I think is the way it's spelled, or we can get you the information if you want to, but if they could do that and they can kill people, torture them to death, beat them to death in America, and nobody is ever held responsible, and the American taxpayer pays this off, if not the people who beat him to death, or the people in the prison system who covered it up, or the government officials who lied, or the government attorneys who defended an indefensible case. It's the American taxpayers who pay the amount of money that's there, and nobody is ever fired. And when you gun down a man, certainly police officers can make a mistake, and that's understandable, but admit what had happened. But you see, they can't do it, and if they would lie about that, would they lie about what happened in the Oklahoma City bombing? Would they lie about the fact that there were special forces sent into Waco to kill the Branch Davidians? Would they lie about why Building 7 came down on September 11th? And if you really want to understand what really happened on September 11th, you should get access to the little newsletters we put together in the form of pamphlets called Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3, available through Radio Liberty, or go back through my newsletters at www.radioliberty.com, and starting with the September 2001 newsletter, pull down all the newsletters that deal with what happened on that terrible morning. And then, of course, understand what a high government official, high CIA official, said to incompetence, and we simply quote him as saying, when the dust finally settles after 9-1-1, the American people will realize that what happened on September 11th was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. What happened on September 11th was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. 3,000 Americans were dead, but now we could go to war in the Middle East. That's what it was really about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and for the survival of Western civilization. There is evil in the world. And until you acknowledge that, until you understand that, you can't understand what's really going on. So please pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose it. And then pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, until we're together again. May the Lord be with you.